Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, December 26, 2017. A senior Catholic clergy has a strong message for South Sudanese leaders.
We are not happy, and yet we are still within. Nobody is happy in the country, and we want this country to be happy again, to be all right. So let us put down guns, truly, whether in the bush or at home.
And South Sudanese attending religious services in Khartoum say their people must reconcile for the sake of peace at home.
As a mother, I really hope for stability in South Sudan. Now I'm here raising kids as a single mother while their father is working in South Sudan. I don't know what kind of future they will have.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Metropolitan Catholic Archbishop of Juba Diocese, Paulino Lukudu-Loro, had strong words for South Sudanese warring parties in his Christmas message this year. Bishop Lukudu urged the warring parties to silence their guns and work for peace, and described the cessation of hostility agreement signed by various stakeholders in Addis Ababa last week as a gift from God. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Nairobi.
Addressing reporters in his residency in Juba on Saturday, Archbishop Paulino Lukudu had a few kind words to the South Sudanese stakeholders who signed the ceasefire deal. Lukudu says the four-year conflict has affected the lives of millions of innocent South Sudanese.
Our country is 6 years old, but for 4 years, we have been fighting and killing ourselves. This has caused a lot of displacement and mass migrations of our people into neighboring countries. Besides the loss of too many lives and the increase of hatred and vengeance, this difficult situation challenges us to be the Lord's light and salvation at Christmas time.
He says this year's Christmas festivity should bring change into the hearts of South Sudanese, especially those in the warring parties.
Those who are holding arms because they are dissatisfied, like us who are inside, we are not happy, and yet we are still within. Nobody is happy in the country, and we want this country to be happy again, to be all right. So let us put down guns, truly, whether in the bush or at home. I know that, and I heard that people have been putting up a lot of guns, to do what?
The Catholic Archbishop is urging the various South Sudanese stakeholders to make what he calls nationalistic decisions that put South Sudanese above personal interests for power and wealth. He describes the signing of the cessation of hostilities agreement by the parties in Addis Ababa last week as a Christmas gift to South Sudanese across the country.
We are dying of hunger and this and that. We are useless for nothing practically as a country. And therefore, this gift indeed, which has come and which I would like to share with our brothers and sisters, that let us believe in it. You know, God speaks in a very strange way. We did not think of what was going to happen. Revitalization came in to strengthen us.
Lukudu congratulated the South Sudanese stakeholders, adding the ceasefire is the latest move to foster in a new era in the history of South Sudan. He noted many agreements signed in the past by the leaders did not hold and urged South Sudan's leaders to respect the documents signed in Addis Ababa last week.
In order to reach peace in this country, stop war, stop fighting, stop burning houses, stop killing, stop raping, stop robbing, stop stealing, stop all this. And I'm happy that the first thing they have done during this meeting in Addis Ababa today of these representatives is stopping war. bringing an environment of peace, of dialogue, of revitalization.
The Metropolitan Catholic Archbishop of Juba Diocese is among several church leaders who have been outspoken about the deteriorating human rights conditions across South Sudan. Lukudu questioned the president's motives for peace during a national prayer day organized by the Kiir administration in March this year. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Nairobi.
Some South Sudanese in the Sudanese capital Khartoum say the only way for peace to return in South Sudan is through genuine reconciliation. The South Sudanese families living in Sudan say true peace comes through genuine reconciliation among leaders and not through signing agreements. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
The St. Joseph Catholic Choir sing hymns as South Sudanese celebrate Christmas in Kalakla neighborhood of Khartoum. Catholics here say there is a need for reconciliation among the various communities in order for real peace and stability to return to the country. Speaking in Arabic, parishioner Grace Alexander Sirangutua, who hails from Meridi State, says she's saddened by the stories she hears about conditions of people back in South Sudan.
We are living here in Khartoum, but all our hearts are in South Sudan because we do feel the pain that our brothers and sisters are going through. We are here eating, but they don't get something to eat. We are not happy at all. Our wishes is that peace should come, so we should return home and meet with our dear ones. It is my country, and I am proud to be from South Sudan.
Another St. Joseph parishioner, Agri Khamis Alajabu, who hails from former Western Barakazali state, says true peace is not found in papers signed by the warring parties. Speaking in Arabic, Khamis urges South Sudanese leaders to reconcile with each other on a personal level so that fighting ends.
We say war and killing is enough because many people have died. Some of them are not even buried. Some were eaten by birds. Families have been displaced and we became beggars. We still have patriotism towards our country, but due to greed of our leaders, they mobilized youth to defend them.
Khamis says he also believes real peace can be achieved in South Sudan through forgiveness and forgetting the past. Christina David, a mother of four, worries about the future of her children she's raising in Khartoum without their father. Speaking in Arabic, she says she hopes to see stability in South Sudan so she can return to her hometown of Yambio in Gudwe State.
As a mother, I really hope for stability in South Sudan. Now I'm here raising kids as a single mother. While their father is working in South Sudan, I don't know what kind of future they will have. Peace is the only thing we need in our country.
Reverend Joseph Yakub told parishioners gathered yesterday for Christmas Mass at St. Joseph Parish that South Sudan needs people with clean hearts. Speaking in Arabic, he urged Christians to follow example of Jesus Christ.
If you have anything in your heart, please release and forgive. Those who have killed lives have been forgiven and have been released. Why don't you forgive and forget small things so your heart can be relieved? Jesus is a good example for forgiveness. Please open your heart and forget the past and be a new person.
Reverend Yakub says South Sudan will not be stable unless South Sudanese reconcile with one another. He says he hopes that the just concluded revitalization forum will pave way for nationwide reconciliation among the various communities in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Khartoum, we come back to Juba, where hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese Christians have been joyously celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ with hope for lasting peace across the country. Christians are calling upon warring parties to compromise and put national interests first to achieve peace. Jacob Achek has been talking to South Sudanese Christians in Juba who express their expectations for the future.
Parishioners sang gospel song as they celebrated Christmas at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Juba. Father Hilary Mubei says he hopes that God will grant sustainable peace to South Sudanese. Father Mubei says Christmas is a season of peace and forgiveness, and good leaders work for unity of their people.
This Christmas is special, and I think our hopes and prayers are for peace, and we are asking God to touch the hearts of every leader. Best leaders are those who can take us to happiness. Best leaders are those ones who can help us live together. Now, every person who is in Addis Ababa, we are asking as church, as people of God, that let God intervene, touch their hearts, and bring peace to our great nation.
Pastor Peter Adwabdeng of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan says he told his congregations at San Emmanuel in Juba that this Christmas festival will be a humble one for South Sudanese.
We are hoping for a joyful moment where we have peace with ourselves and peace with our neighbors and peace with our people. So my message to our people, we have to humble ourselves this year.
For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at what Boko Haram is doing to people in Africa. Find out where when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you celebrate your birthday in your family?
Though it is not big, we can buy a cake, then we have a family dinner.
Honestly speaking, we doesn't celebrate any birthday. Some people, they used to even forget this is their birthday, unless if those that are in social media.
For me, it's not only the birthday celebration, but it's a way of bringing my family together. We laugh together, we enjoy, and so that's it.
Phone calls, you know, and my children, my grandchildren, they just call me on the phone wishing me happy birthday.
It's just a small ceremony, just your parents remind you of your birthday. I think that is all. It's not something too big.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. And today we are talking about efforts to eradicate polio. Scientists warn that a campaign to eliminate polio in Central Africa is falling apart because of instability in the Lake Chad Basin area, where Boko Haram remains active. On the positive side, Gabon has been declared a polio-free country. Muki Edwin Kinzeka has this report for VOA from Yaoundé.
Professor Rose Leke, who heads the Africa Regional Certification Commission for Polio Eradication, says Central Africa has seen no cases of polio in the past 15 months. But she adds scientists cannot be sure the polio virus has been eradicated in the region. Leke says medical teams find it difficult getting access to conflict zones in Mali, the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and parts of Cameroon, Chad, Niger, and Nigeria affected by the Boko Haram insurgency.
DRC has circulating polio viruses, so many of them were really worried about the country, and so we had specific recommendations also for RDC and for all the others.
We're still very concerned about the Lake Chad Basin area, the Borno area, where we don't know what's happening there. I think that's a concern for the entire world.
Rose says polio cases have decreased by more than 99% in the past 30 years, from an estimated 350,000 per year to just 37 reported cases in 2016. She says as a result of the global effort to eradicate the disease, more than 16 million people have been saved from paralysis. According to the United Nations, once a case of polio is recorded, it takes 3 years of no other case to declare the zone polio-free. Gabon recently reached that goal. Gabon's neighbor, Cameroon, has attained the status of non-polio exporting country, but is still considered a high-risk nation like other African states, with an influx of refugees from conflict zones that healthcare workers mostly avoid. But Alim Ayatu, Cameroon's Secretary of State in the Ministry of Health, says the country is also on track to be polio-free. He says they have prepared an ambitious plan to make sure Cameroon eliminates polio by 2019. Central African states have organized numerous inoculation campaigns, but more than 15% of children in the region remain unvaccinated due to cultural resistance, conflicts, and illiteracy. Moki, Edwin Kinzeka, for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Uganda has increased its troops' presence along the border with the Democratic Republic of Congo. This move aims to guard against potential infiltration by rebels of the Allied Defense Forces, or ADF. This comes amid reports of ADF attacks on peacekeepers in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Great Lakes region governments have also agreed to jointly fight the rebels. VOA's Catherine Nambi reports for VOA from Kampala.
Uganda has been placed on high alert following the recent killings of UN security personnel by the Uganda rebel ADF in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The group operates in the mountainous Uganda border area. It attacked UN peacekeepers in eastern DRC's North Kivu province on December 7th, killing at least 15 Tanzanian blue helmets, 5 DRC soldiers, and wounding 53 others. Now, the Ugandan Army, Uganda People's Defense Forces, have been deployed along all the country's border with the DRC, especially in Kasese and Bundibujo districts. They have been referred to as prominent routes used by the enemy. Kano Okello Engola is Uganda's Minister of State for Defense.
Since the ADF is mainly thinking about Uganda, you don't know their plans in Congo, we don't want them to come and enter in our territory. We have to make sure we are on the alert.
Major General Peter Ereru is the commander of land forces in the UPDF. He says they are tightly monitoring the activities of the ADF and has vowed they will be crushed should they attempt to cross to Uganda.
They have their commander as Baluku, who is also Mukonjo from Obuera here. They also have their chief of military intelligence, is Chris Okorani. He's also a born of Kasese here. So they are there. And we are watching them. We know what they are doing. Every day we have an eye on them. And the moment they attempt to come into our country, I assure you, we shall deal with them. We have dealt with them. They are not in Congo for tourism. It was because they were defeated here. If they come back again, we shall deal with them.
He says at the moment, Ugandan troops can only guard against ADF rebels at the border since they have no authorization to hunt them down in DRC.
Unfortunately, we cannot cross the border because of the international laws. We can only do that when the DRC authority has given us a go ahead. And I think we are working together with DRC leadership to make sure that we deal with this threat, because ADF is killing civilians, soldiers, and you see sufferings in DRC is also suffering for Ugandans. All these people are human beings who should be protected. So for us, we are still very vigilant, and whatever happens, we are ready for it.
Brigadier Richard Kalemire is Uganda's army spokesperson. He says countries in the Great Lakes region have embarked on joint efforts to completely flush the rebel outfit out of the area.
One of the mechanisms in place is the joint follow-up mechanism that brings together the parties such as Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, and Democratic Republic of Congo. We established a center in Kasese aimed at gathering intelligence and having in place a mechanism under which this information can be shared as a web containing these terrorists.
The Joint Intelligence Center has also created a subcommittee to conduct counter-radicalization exercises in Uganda, since the ADF mainly recruit from Uganda youths.
Our major role is to expose the tricks, the techniques which violent extremist organizations use to induce people to join extremist organizations like the ADF and Al-Shabaab. So we teach them by way of exposing the devices of the enemy.
In the 1990s, the ADF rebels terrorized Uganda's Rwenzori region in the districts of Kasese, Bundibujo, and Kabarole for almost 10 years. During the insurgency, they are believed to have killed more than 3,000 people and displaced 100,000. These were, however, repulsed, and they relocated to the DRC. The rebel group is estimated to have between 700 to 900 fighters. Reports indicate that they are still very active in the DRC and pose an enormous threat to the area. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Still on Uganda, the opposition plans to legally challenge the constitutional amendment which allows President Yoweri Museveni to seek a sixth term in office. VOA's Peter Clodi speaks to Ugandan officials on this development.
For us as a political party, we feel, you know, the last opportunity for us to have a smooth transition from one president to another is basically lost. And even if the term limits have been restored, we now believe that the constitution has been reduced to just a mere piece of paper, and these two can be changed at the will of Mr. Museveni. And so for us, we think the extension of the Museveni rule, which is now coming to 32 years and 35 years by 2021, is something that is undesirable, and, you know, Ugandans are going to run out of patience, especially, you know, those who think that being a president of this country has caused more problems to us than it has solved.
But this was done in Parliament. Debates were heard. The process was followed. The NRM has a majority in Parliament, and they voted on this, and they overwhelmingly approved the measure which enabled President Museveni to sign into law. Why are people opposed to it, especially the FDC, your party?
Indeed, this is not any ordinary provision of the Constitution. It was a provision of the Constitution that should be read in totality with the rest of the Constitution. And it's really something that affects the very core of our democracy. And really, one needs to put this whole issue in context, because the members of parliament were given opportunity to go out to consult. And wherever they went, the majority of Ugandans said, don't touch the constitution to remove age limits. And so really all the surveys indicate that the approval rating for the removal of age limit was just 15%. So 85% of the population disapproved the removal of age limit. This is certainly a big majority. You know, in the FDC and the opposition generally, we look at this amendment as a sham, something that cannot be accepted. And really, we are going back to the court of public opinion to consult with the public and cause, you know, an uprising against this particular provision.
What is the next line of action for the FDC since this provision has been made into law?
Well, for purpose of clarity, this is not a matter of the FDC alone per se. This is a matter of Ugandans. And so we, as the FDC, together with sister political parties who believe the same way we do, are just going to provide the leadership for Ugandans. We are going to be in a position to spell out the necessary actions we are going to take in order to resist in the strongest terms possible this obnoxious law. And so today, the political parties that subscribe to the same school of thought address a press conference here in Kampala. And we equivocally condemned the passing of the constitutional amendment. We are going to make a statement of our next course of action at the turn of the year in January, precisely on the 9th.
How do you resist a law? On what grounds are you going to resist it? And aren't you going to put your supporters in harm's way if they clash with security operatives, the police, and perhaps the army?
The rules of procedure were violated by the Speaker of Parliament, who is really supposed to be the custodian of the rules of procedure. We saw the Right Honourable Speaker fumbling on these rules, and I believe that her ruling, in most cases, her ruling, she personally did not believe in what she was ruling. This is a matter that has not been settled yet. You know, for all intents and purposes, what the Parliament did amounted to sub judice, you know, discussing a matter that is before a competent court of law. And therefore, under the law, specifically Article 3 of the Constitution, we are called upon by Ugandans, in fact, commanded by the Constitution, to protect the Constitution by those who choose either to overthrow it, abrogate it, amend it, suspend it unlawfully.
That's spokesman of the opposition FDC party speaking to my colleague Peter Kloti from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The Metropolitan Catholic Archbishop of Juba Diocese, Paulino Lukudu Loro, is urging the warring parties to silence their guns and work for peace. He described the cessation of hostilities agreement signed by the various stakeholders in Addis Ababa last week as a gift from God. At his residence on Saturday, the Archbishop said the four-year conflict has affected the lives of millions of innocent South Sudanese. Aside from the loss of life and displacement of millions of people into neighboring countries, he said the fighting has increased hatred and a desire for vengeance in the country. The Archbishop said this Christmas should usher in change into the hearts of all South Sudanese, but especially those in the warring parties. He urged South Sudan's stakeholders to make what he calls nationalistic decisions that put South Sudan above the personal interests of its leaders for power and wealth. South Sudanese attending services yesterday in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, say the only way for peace and unity to return to South Sudan is through genuine reconciliation. They said true peace comes through reconciliation among leaders, not through signing agreements, as was done in Addis. Catholics attending Mass said different ethnic communities must also reconcile with each other if real peace and stability are going to return. A parishioner who hails from Maridi State said she is saddened by the story she hears about the condition of people back at home. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Tuesday. When I leave you with the song Junubia by C.J. Oman.
C.J. Oman. Junubia. Hey. Junubia. Neligo pini akisimpo biafa. Kopini alone to giafa and the kopini asay malaika and the kuwe natai wataku pinia kemili futuku junubia
We have been listening to C.J. Oman with the song Junubia. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening, and it's good to be back here in Studio 17. Let's know what you think about our show. You can find us on the web at southsudan@voanews.com, or you can check us out on our Facebook site at South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.